Welcome to Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. We are located at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. If you don't have a home, church, we would love for you to consider making your home with us. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school at 10 a.m. and Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. Sunday night Bible study begins at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night prayer meeting starts at 6 p.m. Now it's time to enjoy a wonderful anointed message from Pastor Jimmy Haining.
Your Bibles this morning, go with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 16. Once you've found it, stand with us for the reading of the word this morning. Matthew chapter 16, I'm going to start at verse 16. Very familiar passages of scriptures here this morning. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the what? The keys of the kingdom of where? Heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach on the thought this morning. The church has lost their keys. The church has lost their keys. I always like to begin with zeroing in on exactly what is meant by the word keys in the original language. In the original Greek, it is translated kleis. And it means the power and the authority given to stewards or the church or ministers to open and to shut doors of various different kinds. To open and to shut doors of various different kinds. I was thinking about when the Lord laid this thought upon my heart. When Jesus told his disciples, "I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven," it wasn't one of those things, Brother Dennis, where he was going, have you ever heard the term, an Indian, that person's an Indian giver? Christ is not an Indian giver. When he gives you something, it's yours. He doesn't take it back. In fact, a very familiar verse of scripture in the Bible tells us that the gifts and the callings of God are, and the phrase is, without repentance. That Greek word for that phrase, without repentance, is metimeletos. It's a big word. I don't expect you to remember it. But it only has a one-word definition in the original language. Can you guess what that word is? Irrevocable. If you need more help with it, think of the parable that Jesus gave when he gave the talents out. And we know the one guy took his talent and made 10, one made 5. But what did the one guy do with his talent? He buried it. Did that get him off the hook? No. It got him in a lot of trouble, actually, didn't it? Because Jesus looked at him, brother, and he said, "You should have took that and done something with it. I gave it to you. It was a gift. Irrevocable. It cannot be taken back." And when Jesus gave to the disciples and to the church the keys, Brother Jeff, of the kingdom of heaven, he had no intention, Sister Lisa, on taking it back. It was given for a purpose. It was given for the church to utilize against the devil, against the enemy. Brother Jeff was touching on that some this morning concerning healing. So he gave the church, he had no intentions of taking it back. So then there's two questions that need to be addressed here this morning. Number one, why did the church lose the keys to begin with? Why did they lose them? And number two, how do we get them back? Why did the church lose the keys? Are you with me this morning? Some of you look like you're about to fall asleep. And furthermore, how do we get them back? Well, let's deal with the first question first, the question of why did we lose the keys? Now, I've got some here this morning that are just a smidgen, just a handful of different ways that has been the cause. The Bible is full of it, especially in the New Testament. But I'm going to give you the big ones, the ones that really, I call them the standouts. And the first one I want to give you, I'm going to refer to them as the works of the flesh rather than the fruit of the Spirit. the works of the flesh rather than the fruit of the Spirit. Notice what the Apostle Paul says here to the church of the Corinthians in chapter 12. He says, "For I fear lest that when I come, I shall not find you as I would." In other words, I'm expecting there to be some growth, Brother Dennis, but my gut tells me there's some things going on that ain't right, and I'm not going to like it when I get there. "And furthermore, that I shall be found of you as such as you would not." In other words, you're not going to like me very much because I'm going to have to thin the crop a little bit. I'm going to have to tromp some toes. I'm going to have to, Brother Creed, lay the law down, and it's going to be some ouch and maybe some amens. He says, "Lest there be debates, envyings, wraths." Wrath is anger on steroids, by the way. "Strifes," people who have a strife one against the other. "Backbiting," ouch. Some of this sounds very familiar to modern day church. "Whisperings," swellings, tumults like riots. "And lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of their uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed." He goes further in Timothy, and he kind of doubles down in Timothy. It gets a little worse here. He says, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud and knowing nothing." He is proud and he doesn't know anything. "But doting about questions and strife of words." Does that sound familiar? "Whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men with corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself." Strong language, isn't it? He says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he continues, and he says, "Now in this I declare unto you, and I praise you not, that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worst. Where first of all, when you come together in a church, I hear that there be divisions among you." One of the worst things in the church house are cliques. You get a faction over here, you get a faction over there, and then they start whispering. God hates that. "And I partly believe it," he says, "for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you." In other words, you're listening to other winds of doctrines. You're listening to other men's theories other than the doctrine, the true doctrine that's been laid down. That's heresies. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, he doubles down even further. "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working and the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." So far, the Apostle Paul has laid out a plethora, and this again is just a handful of things that I've picked, of different works of the flesh, Brother Jeff, that hinders the church from operating, holding, possessing, and utilizing the keys of the kingdom of heaven. All of these are they're carnality. It's all carnal. It's all things that God, and again, Brother Jeff alluded to this a little bit, God won't work through that. He can't work through that. There are certain laws, spiritual laws, that govern things. And it's easy for people to mix up the natural law with the spiritual law. We can't do that. We'll get into that here, Lord willing, a little bit later on in the message. But so far, the Apostle Paul has laid down all these different words I just read to you, and it's pretty bad. In Revelation chapter 2, though, Jesus starts talking. And I'll sum it up with this. Like I said, there's so many I could give, but we don't have time to go into all these things. But Jesus says, "Nevertheless," this was after he praised him for a couple things. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast" what? "Left thy first love." Who's the first love? Jesus Christ is supposed to be our first love. He says, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen." In other words, what caused you and where it happened. Remember it. Think back. What was it that caused you to leave me? And repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Again, many other different types of reasons I could give in the vein of carnality, but you get the picture of these things that hinder any child of God, Brother Jeff. Another one I can give real quick, and I'll just summarize it for you. Remember when Jesus was speaking to the people, and he said, don't bother leaving your gift at the altar when you've got something in your heart against your brother. Why is that, Brother Ed? Because your prayers will be hindered. Go, he said, rather to that neighbor, to that brother, to that sister, and make things right. Come back into agreement with them, Brother Dennis, and then leave your gift at the altar, and then the Lord will accept it. You see, another thing, my Brother Jeff was speaking earlier on healing, and he was speaking a little bit to the laws, the different laws, and how we got to do things through prayer and such. Just to tag off on that a little bit this morning, one of the number one things that keeps people from being healed and keeps God from doing anything for them in that vein is bitterness, anger, a rotten attitude. In other words, things that are not Christ-like at all. And then we want to wonder why God don't heal us. We hinder our prayers by our own carnal actions. You know, I've often said this, and I've gotten in trouble for it in the past, but it's still the truth nonetheless. Nothing irritates me more than to hear someone say, Brother Dennis, stand up and give a testimony, they call it. Bless God, I've been in this way for 50 years. I heard Brother Thomas or Brother Brooks once said, and that's the problem. They've just been in the way. But they've been in the way for 50 years, but you cannot tell it. Because, and I kid you not, I've seen this with my own, I've witnessed it in person for myself. A brand new convert, Brother Jeff, that many times has much more wisdom than that blessed dear saint of God who's been in the way for 50 years. Think of that. Nothing irritates me more, Brother Eddie, than to hear someone bragging about how long they've been saved, but they don't have any proof or evidence of that walk with God. What good does it do to say, I've been a Christian for 50 years, if you never pick up the book and read it? And furthermore, what good does it do to pick up the book and read it, Sister Brenda, if you're not willing to apply it to your life? We can read all the scriptures about be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. We can read all the scriptures that talk about you were once, when you were an old man, you used to walk in those ways, but now you're a new creature. We can read all that, but if we don't apply it, Brother Ronnie, to our life, and if we just continue on our daily routine every day and something rubs us the wrong way, Brother Jeff, and we get mad, and well, I don't have one, but sometimes I think we need a good old punching bag so we can go throw a carnality fit. No, what we need to do is get down on our knees and pray that spirit of anger out of us is what we need to do. All that pounding on the big bag, heavy bag's going to do is subside that anger temporarily until someone else rubs us the wrong way. How many's ever watched any part of the series that's about Jesus and his disciples? Lizzie, what's the name of it? Chosen. How many's watched any of that? The thing that I really love about that series is the guy who portrays Jesus Christ. I told my wife, I said, you know, Brother Eddie, that man's just a man. He's just an actor. But he does such a fantastic job of bringing out the true love attributes of Jesus Christ. And not only that, Sister Robin, but the joy on his face. I thought, can you imagine, Brother Jeff, if every Christian approached sinners that way? Boy, it got quiet in here on that one, didn't it? Hey, we've all, including myself, we've all been guilty of letting the carnal man come out rather than letting the Holy Spirit guide us and having the love of Christ and know how to handle that situation in a better way. So those are just a handful of the reasons why the church has lost the keys. So now the next question is, how do we get them back? In Matthew chapter 17, there's an account, very familiar account given. And I just want to say this before I read this. The church today is no less spiritually, at this point anyway, than those 12 disciples of Jesus Christ. We're on the same level. You're going to know what I mean by that when I read this. starting at verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him, Jesus, a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. Vexed by what, Brother Jeff? Vexed by devils. Amen. For oft times he falleth into the fire. That don't sound like someone who's demon free to me. And often he falls into the water. And I brought, here it is, and I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Now, before I continue, keep in mind, up until this point, Brother Eddie, the disciples were going out laying hands on the sick. They were being healed. They were going out casting out devils. The devils were fleeing. But when they came up against this one, this young man that his father referred to as a lunatic, he had a strong, what is referred to as a stronghold set up in his life. We're not talking about one or two demons. We're talking about maybe possibly a legion. There's a difference. I brought him to thy disciples. They could not cure him. Now, this next verse, I don't know about you, but I can detect a little bit of aggravation in Jesus with this. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless. Remember you said that earlier, Brother Jeff, unbelief. But notice that next word. And perverse generation. Ouch. How long shall I be with you? Notice this next part. How long shall I suffer you? In other words, put up with you. You know better, he's saying. Bring him to me, Jesus said. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Now, rather than continue on in Matthew, I decided to get the rest of the story from Mark, because I like the way it's worded a little bit better in Mark. Mark chapter 9, here's how it concludes. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? Well, that's a fair question, isn't it? And Jesus said unto them, because this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. There is the twofold solution that Jesus gave, the formula, if you will, that he gave for being able to get the keys back. I lost you on that one, didn't I? Not too long ago, it might have been before Brother Eddie and Sister Diana started coming, we used to go around, Brother Creed and Sister Darlene, remember this, and Brother Francis, Sister Maximilian, we used to ask for a show of hands, say, who'll take Monday for a fast day? Who'll take Tuesday for a fast day? And remember, I explained to you, some people say, well, you're not supposed to let anybody know you're fasting. No, but when you do a corporate fast, that's different. Okay, the word of God there is talking about someone who fasts in private. But we would go around the church and we would say, and we did this for the longest time, and each person, and there were some people in the church who had sugar and they couldn't fast a whole day, so they fast half a day, somebody pick up after that. And we started getting a reputation around here, or not we, but the church, through Christ, Brother Eddie, that this church was a church of faith. Because every time you turned around, somebody like Brother Robert and Sister Maximilia and Brother Creed and different ones, Sister Robin, would stand up and give a testimony of something great God had done. It wasn't anything we did, but two things, prayer and fasting. Why is that important? I'm so glad you asked me that question. Prayer and fasting. Number one, when we fast, we deny ourselves in two ways. Now, the first way is obvious. It's the carnal way. We deprive ourselves of food, right? And other things, other desires, we deprive ourselves of. But here's the second part most people don't realize. We also deprive ourselves in a spiritual way as we deny ourself of our own strengths and our own abilities. There's where a lot of people get in trouble. When Mom was alive, I dubbed her as Sister Fix-It. The family knows what I mean by that. If there was a tiff, as Crystal would say, between me, or I'll just use myself, me and Brother Ronnie, which there wasn't, but if there was a tiff between us, Mom wouldn't give God time to fix it. Sister Fix-It got involved. I say that in a humorous way, but unfortunately, this same thing goes on in the house of God. We want to revert back to our own abilities. My mom had the gift of gab. That gift omitted me. I'm not a talker like Brother Jeff. Brother Jeff could strike up a conversation. He's like Uncle John. He could strike up a conversation with anybody and just talk. Another one is Brother Jason back here. Once you pull his string, he never shuts up. But anyway, I'm just kidding. But I don't have the gift of gab, okay? But the people who a lot of times do have that gift, sometimes I think, now I'm not saying Jeff, so don't take me wrong, or Jason, but I think sometimes they talk just to hear, so they can hear themselves talk. It's the truth. Some people are like that. I don't blame you, Sister Kirk. No. How many's ever been around someone before that no matter what you have done, what you've accomplished, or what you can do, they can do it just a little bit better? They can tell you a little bit better way to go about it. That is so irritating. And you know what? It's even more irritating to God. Why? Because we're supposed to be looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And I'm just going to be honest with you right now. I am only at page 5 of page 10, and I'm not going to get through this message this morning. So it's going to be a two-part series. I thought I could get through it, but I'm not going to rush through it because it's too very important to get through it. So I'm going to finish this part I'm on, and then next week, Lord willing, we will get into the actual keys of the kingdom, okay? So I'll just leave you wanting more. How's that? We'll just make you hungry for next week, like Brother Jeff said, and people will show up maybe because they want to get the rest of the story, as they say. All right, so physically, we deny ourselves of food and other desires, and spiritually, we deny ourselves of our own strengths, our own abilities, ever looking unto Jesus. Now, the second part of that formula is prayer, not just any kind of prayer. Now, I'll lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord, and then in the morning, I'll wash my feet, and then so on and so forth. You know, none of that kind of stuff. We're talking about true, blue, intercessory prayer. Brother Jeff, again, I don't mean to keep mentioning him, but he's right with my message this morning. That's the way God does things. That we need to pray one for another. When I pray for Dennis, I shouldn't just say, Lord, remember Dennis Brooks and bless him, Lord, and then move on. No. No, I need to think about the problems in Brother Dennis's life that he has personally, privately shared with me and say, Lord, you see this? You know what's on his heart. You know what he's facing. Brother Jeff, things he's told me. Lord, God, I'm asking you by the power of your name that you've invested in us to move this mountain. We need to pray for everyone in the church. When I pray for you all, I name each and every one of your names. I don't know how you pray. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you how I do it. I name each and every one of your names. I vision where you're sitting, sis, and I say, Lord, I want you to bless Sister Blanche, whatever's going on in her life. And I just go right down the line, and I call your name out on the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know everything but what little bit they've told me, but you know them because you've got the hairs of their head numbered. So we need to pray one for another. And prayer without ceasing. When we get to that point, Brother Jeff, we begin walking in the supernatural. I like what Sister Maximilia one time said concerning some of her children. My children, she said, they see in the supernatural. She's got some kids that are blind. And she said, my kids see, Lord showed her, they see supernaturally. But see, if they didn't love God, Brother Robert, if you didn't love God, if your heart wasn't for God, you couldn't see supernaturally. You'd be blind in two ways. You'd be blind in the natural, but worse than that, you'd be blind spiritually. But when we pray without ceasing and we really get down into prayer like we're supposed to, and here's another big one. Some of you, I might lose some of you on this, but it's still the Word of God. When we pray in the Spirit, we'll let that heavenly language flow through us. The devil don't know what we're saying. Brother Eddie, it's tough sometimes when we're praying in our own vernacular. He knows all the languages of the world, but the one language he don't know is the heavenly language. Don't look at me like I'm from Mars now. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. When we pray with the Holy Ghost, Satan don't have a clue what's going on there because the Holy Spirit himself, Sister Diane, has taken your deepest, darkest, hurtful things that's going on in your life that you can't even put into words. He takes it to God. And he says, my sis needs your help. The devil don't know what's being said there. All he can do is jump up and down, throw a temper tantrum like a little spoilt rotten kid because he don't know what's going on there. The Holy Ghost is the only one, listen to me, who knows the mind of God. We don't. We don't. So it's important that we pray, not just those prayers. And I'm not kicking against anybody. My grandma taught me prayers too. If I can remember it, I don't know if she taught me a prayer over food. Kind Heavenly Father, from whom we are fed, we thank you for our home, our friends, our family, and for our daily bread. Amen. And she would pray that every time she'd pray over the food. I thought, Grandma, why don't you just pray to God like you talk to me, you know? So I'm not kicking on anybody. If you memorize prayers, that's fine. But there's a difference, Brother Eddie, in quoting a prayer that you've memorized and praying from the heart. If I go to Sister Diane, I say, Sister Diane, I want to confide in you about something, and I'm asking you to pray about something in my life, and I'm only telling you about it because God laid you on my heart, and this is what I want you to do. I'm asking you to pray earnestly about this. But if I go to her and I say, Sister Diana, I wrote this prayer down, and I want you to pray for me, and this is all I want you to do is just read this prayer. Well, there's not going to be much to that because she can't pray with her heart. How many is with me this morning? All right, that's better. Pray without ceasing. So bottom line is when a man looks to himself, he's going to fail and fail miserably every single time. So what about these keys? Matthew chapter 16, we'll go back to our scripture verse text, but I'm only going to read the last two verses again because that's what I want to zero in on. And this morning I'll close with this. And Jesus says, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So there it is. Jesus left the church the authority through his name to be able to utilize the power of these heavenly keys. Now, this is where I'm going to end it. What are the keys of the kingdom? There's six of them. Number one, this is what I'm going to leave you with, these six, and I'm going to quit. The key of heavenly delegation. Number two, the key of authoritative distribution. Number three, and this is the one Jesus really homed in on, the key of binding and loosening. Number four, the key of proxy. Number five, the key of doctrine, also known as knowledge. And finally, number six, the key of discipline. Good Lord willing, next week we're going to get into that. I don't want to rush it. I want to be able to break it down so that we can realize as a church the power that God has vested in us through his son, Jesus Christ. We ought to be using these keys. If we're using these keys, Sister Bishop, there won't be any sickness in the church. If we're utilizing these keys, there won't be anybody oppressed by devils or, God forbid, demonically possessed by devils. Because the power of God will be so great in the place, like my grandpa Hodson one time said, Brother Dennis, he said, I had two choices. This was when he was a sinner, years and years ago. He said, I walked into that Church of God on Orange Street where now is what now is Tim Hortons and Xenia. And he said, I said to myself, after I sat down on the back pew, I got one of two choices. I can get up and get out of here, or I can go to that altar. He said, I made the wrong choice. He said, but either way, I couldn't stay in that place because the power was so strong, I couldn't stand it. My whole body was shaking. I was scared to death. That's the kind of power. Like Brother Jeff, I don't want a series of meetings. I want a revival that will stay. It will stick to your ribs, as Sister Gladys Williams used to say. It'll get under about your fifth rib, and it'll hold on to your heart. That's the kind I'm after. Amen. Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning for this service and for your word and for the singing and the testimonies. And Lord, I just pray that you'll help us, Lord God. Give us a hunger and a thirst.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message by Pastor Jimmy Haining and Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. Pastor Jimmy and the congregation would like to invite you to visit with them in service at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. We will see you again right here next week.
His love changed me. I'm not what I used to be. I'm saved by grace. His love changed me. That old man I used to be is gone away.
HLERadio.com, Jennings, Louisiana.